Thank you, Bob. Brilliantly read, as ever. Fantastic Lancashire accent. We love it. So, those of you who are regular to my preaching know that I share something in common with Sybil Fawlty, and that is I do love to state the blindingly obvious. It's not blindingly in the original. I want to say that if you don't want to listen to the whole sermon, I'd just like to tell you right now where we're heading with this one. And it's quite simple. It's this. I can't get this working. That's the old story. Listen to, wait for it, Jesus. This is the whole direction this sermon is going in. It's not going to take long. It's quite a short sermon. But if you want to, phase out now for a little while, so long as you get this one blindingly obvious piece of advice, one very typical, is what you'd expect any preacher to say to you, isn't it? So long as you hear that point, you can nod off for 15 minutes now. That's fine, because this is the whole way we're going with this quite odd story. I must admit, if I got the opportunity to pick my own subjects, I might not have picked the Transfiguration this morning. But one of the great things about doing services like this, where we're thinking about key events in the life of Jesus and key teaching things that he said, is it forces you to think on these things. So it leads me to this point. Do you ever wish that life was just more straightforward? Do you ever just wish, faith was easy and you could get a handle on it and it was plain and simple and, we could just do it? Or relationships were plain and straightforward. Marriage, for example. Marriage was just easy, just straightforward. And it got me, I was thinking about this and I was thinking, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but maybe these things are, in actual fact. I don't know whether you've ever thought about this, but maybe, for example, marriage is not difficult at all. At least not difficult to understand. It's just that we often in life don't do what we know. We don't need to know more. And maybe this morning, maybe you're one of the people that need to know a lot more and you need more sermons and you need more Bible and everything. But most probably, I suspect 95% of you don't need another sermon. You don't need more teaching. You just really need to start doing what you already know. I take marriage, for example. Now, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I actually know the key to a very successful, very fulfilling and happy marriage. It's not a secret at all. In fact, I speak about it at weddings. I know how to have an absolutely brilliant marriage. It's just that, Rachel keeps getting it wrong. No, she doesn't in actual fact. I keep getting it wrong. Now, I should say that I have asked Rachel's permission to tell a story, but it's from years ago. It's not, it was in another life. But we've been married nearly 28 years, and you don't look old enough, Joe, I hear you say. Too late, you missed the moment. And so, there's one day, I came home, I'd probably been away for a week or something, and I came into the kitchen, and the kids were being noisy and everything. And I could not help but notice Rachel was banging things quite defiantly on the cooker, the old saucepans. And now this can be quite a bad sign, I've learnt. So I did what any husband would do in my situation. I said, "Is everything all right, love?" And she said, perfectly reasonable, she went, "Fine." "Everything all right, love?" "Fine." Now, I want to ask the ladies here, what was the correct thing for me to do next? Then I will tell you why. Anyone, come on, I'm speaking to women because women often speak a language I don't understand. Anyone like to tell me what I should have done next? Tracy, I should have given her a hug. Yeah, great. Anything else? Offer to help. Yeah. Are you crazy? Yeah, okay. Yeah, offer to help, yeah. Anything else? Leave her alone, oh, good. Correct answer. Anything else? Well, that was quite interesting. No one used the mic, but that was quite interesting. Now, let me tell you, I stand before you as the mighty man of God that I am, and, I've taken promises to cherish my wife, and I know that love is patient and love is kind. I know these things. I could see something was wrong. So when Rachel said, "Fine," it's bang, bang, what I actually did was go, "Great," and then I went off and watched football. Here's the thing. Now, whatever you may say about women's languages and things like that, and, you know, men do tend to use language a bit more literally and women tend to use it a bit more figuratively. I know that. But I knew that was the wrong thing to do. You see, I do know the right thing to do. I made promises 28 years ago about cherishing my wife and being kind to her and loving her and cutting her some slack, you know. And you know, I promised to devote myself to this woman, poor woman. And so, you know what, I knew the right thing to do. The right thing was to give her a hug. And yes, maybe give her a bit of space. And to offer to help, you know, that all of those things deep down, I knew that. What I didn't do was do that. And I wonder whether, you know, similarly, our relationship with God is not so far off the point. I mean, I speak to people all the time. They come to me and they go, I'm sorry I'm going up and down because this is a ridiculously short stage. It's this, look, it's that big. If you can't. I was told I should use it so you can see me at the back. So that's. You know, I know that, you know, as a Christian, I'm meant to pray. You know, I know that God speaks to me through his word. I know that it's great to come together and to ask others to pray with me when I hit that kind of wall and, you know, I need to humble myself and say, look, please help me with this area in my life. I need you. I just kind of don't do it all the time. And then surprise, surprise, I find life such a struggle a lot of the time. So I don't know whether any of you relate to this, but I actually think this story speaks to that kind of knowing but not doing aspect of who we are, of our fallen, I suppose, sinful nature. Now, let's have a look at the story. Context is quite important, and this story comes quite towards the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, so, you know, towards the end of 3 years, and towards the end, you know, Peter has made this great confession at Caesarea Philippi, and he said that, you know, Jesus, I believe you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God, you're the Messiah. And from that point onwards, it seems Jesus has been saying, and now I have to go to Jerusalem and I have to die. And there's been confusion amongst the disciples. They don't like this sort of language of, you know, Jesus dying, and, you know, they got a pretty set idea of what a Messiah should be like, and it was not that. And so Jesus says one day, he says, Rocky, Jimbo, Johnny, we're going up to a high mountain. He might have said Peter, James, John, but I prefer to think of it as that way. He says, we are going up a high mountain. Now, that may have aroused some curiosity, because historically in the Bible, God speaks on high mountains. So they may have been quite excited about it. They certainly wouldn't have expected what actually happened. Jesus goes up the mountain and he starts to shine. He literally starts to shine. God is doing something with Jesus. And, you know, this would evoke memories because, of course, remember when Moses came down the mountain? Do you remember every time he went into the presence of God, his face shone also? So this was a sign that God was very much here. And then Jesus meets with Moses and Elijah, of course, representing the law and the prophets, two very key characters from the Old Testament. And Peter, being forever his impetuous, active self, says, Lord, it's good that we're here. I mean, he's just, you know, he's just masking his fear as ever. And he says, it's good that we're here. We'll make a shelter for Moses and Elijah. Can you believe Moses and Elijah? And you, Jesus, you're clearly as important as Moses and Elijah. But it's not over. The party is not over yet. The bright cloud comes down, a symbol of God's presence. And as if that is not enough, a voice from heaven, a genuine, loud, audible voice. Not one of those quiet anyone's, but a voice that can be heard by all of them. This is my son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And then, just Jesus. And Jesus says, come on, fellas, we got work to do. So three real quick observations, because I want to leave space at the end of this, just to sort of mull over. And, you know, this is not rocket science. The first thing is this, that God wanted to get the attention of Peter, James, and John. And what a dramatic experience this was for them. This was something they were never, ever going to forget. Never. And they didn't. John writes about it in his gospel. Peter writes about it in his letter. This was a very key defining moment for them. And you know, in your life, you've probably started to doubt it since. But you've met met God in the past, haven't you? There have been times when you know God's met with you, when God said something to you. Trouble is, it was quite a while ago, and now you think, oh, did he really meet with me? Maybe I think, but God met with you, because that's what God does. He gets our attention. He wants our attention. It's a very common theme in the Bible through the Old Testament. I won't list all the scriptures, but God wants to pay attention to what I say is quite a common refrain throughout the Bible. Because God loves us and wants to bless us and knows the right way that we are to live. And so we need to give him attention in order to learn that stuff, because sin has so marred and scarred us and ruined life. And the kingdom of Satan is there to destroy and tear us apart. And we are in a battle. We're in a battle. So we need to pay attention to God. And God uses a variety of means to get our attention. Now, that was a pretty good extreme way of doing it. But other times, art, beauty, a sunset, you know the ways God has spoken to you, nearly fell off the stage. You know, and sometimes not such great things. Pain, suffering, depression. You know, those are also great tools in the hand of God to get our attention, which is how come we can sing a song like, blessed be the name of the Lord when the darkness comes, when there's pain and there's suffering. Well, how can we say blessed be? Well, because even that stuff God can use to get our attention. That's how come we can say blessed be the name of the Lord. Second thing God wants is priority. And I think this is quite a key message from this passage. It's possible to focus on the wrong things. God wants our attention, but too often we are distracted. I mean, I heard one preacher call it a kind of spiritual form of attention deficit disorder, ADD. We are so often distracted by stuff other than Jesus. And sometimes it's quite good stuff. And in this passage, Peter was distracted by Moses and Elijah. And in wanting to build three shelters, he was really saying, you know, kind of, you know, equal value. Jesus, you're as important as Moses and Elijah. But Jesus is not as important as Moses and Elijah. He is more important. It was Jesus' face who shone. It was Jesus' clothes that were as white as light, not Moses and Elijah. And when the cloud lifted, it wasn't Moses and Elijah there. It was Jesus who was there. And God didn't say, it's Moses and Elijah and I'm well pleased with them. He said, this is my son who I'm well pleased with. And then the key bit, of course, listen to him. But Peter had been focused on other things. Moses and Elijah. It's good, but it's not Jesus. And, you know, the point is this. It's easy to get distracted by good things in life, but miss what God really wants, the priority God wants. And, you know, we all have good things, don't we? Some of you, you know, there's other things that you could be doing this morning. Some of us aren't here because we are off doing them. There are good things, family things. That's a very worthy thing to spend time with your family, isn't it? I mean, none of us would disagree with that. The Bible's got a lot to say about the importance of family and values. But Jesus also said, you know what, I come before mother and father and brother and sister. It's me first. Because actually we've got to build our lives on Jesus, the rock. And the third thing is this. Blindingly obvious, isn't it? And I think this is the main, in many ways, I'm not sure, we can't be sure how significant this event was to Jesus and for what was just about to happen to him. Very, very significant, I suppose. But for these three who were witnesses to it, this was enormously significant to them. And it's kind of strange, isn't it? You know, at the baptism, we heard the voice saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. But now we have this. This is my son who I'm well pleased. listen to him. So God is addressing Peter, James, and John here. Listen to, which is sort of strange, because if you think about it, they must have been listening to Jesus anyhow, because they'd given up everything to follow Jesus. And they've been following Jesus for at least a couple of years. You know, they've been following him around. They've left everything behind. You would think they must be listening to Jesus anyhow. And yet God uses this key moment, this strategic moment, to say three very simple words to them. Listen to him. Kind of implication that they hadn't been listening. And certainly they hadn't been listening when Jesus had been talking about his need to die, to go to Jerusalem to die, and then be raised from the dead. They didn't really want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that aspect of Jesus. They wanted the glorious side of Jesus, not the painful side of Jesus. Strange that God would say, when you've given up everything to follow Jesus, listen to him. It made me wonder. I wonder if it's possible to be a Christian for, say, let's say for argument's sake, 30 years, and to come to church, to be a minister maybe, promoted to the big league, and not listen to Jesus. Do you think that theoretically could be possible? I think it could be. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying theoretically that might be possible. Could it be possible to come to sort of church each week and get into a kind of religious habit, a kind of way of doing faith and church that, you know, we all know what the score is. We come to church, we belong to a group, and, you know, but then we kind of live our lives pretty much as we did because actually we don't listen to Jesus. We love what some of he says, but there are certain bits we don't love so much. We know the right things to do, but we're not actually going to do them. So we settle for a kind of safe brand of Christianity, which denies all its power, incidentally, but kind of allows us to be in the system. Do you think it is possible to be that kind of Christian and not listen to Jesus? And this passage is quite a tough one to preach, I don't mind telling you. But it's great, and it's unequivocal, and it can't be misinterpreted. And, you know, in terms of preaching it, you can't really make an analogy out of it and everything, because this is just God. This is God himself breaking into space and time and saying very plainly, this is my son, listen to him. Do you get it? There's no way of misunderstanding this or misinterpreting it or anything like that, which is why I said this is so blindingly obvious. And forgive me for saying the obvious, but, you know, I kind of think sometimes God speaks through that stuff anyway. This is my son. Listen to him. Don't listen to part of what he says. Don't listen to other people who say stuff was interesting, but it isn't right. Listen to everything he says. Listen to Jesus. And so that pretty much is where, you can do it. Thanks, Matt. Just bung those up. Listen to Jesus. That's pretty much all I wanted to say this morning. Short. Sweet, to the point. I was always told, stand up, speak out, shut up, or something like that. You shouldn't over-egg it. And I don't want to over-egg it. So, folks, this is the end of the service. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to leave some quiet. We're not going to sing again, but we're going to leave some quiet. Because I think God wants to speak to us. Always, actually. And I think that what we should do is make some time to listen to him. Now, he's already been speaking. You may have heard the voice of God speaking through the songs. Actually, I was loving the singing this morning. The band were great. You may have heard the voice speaking of God speaking through something else, maybe as we read scripture. But sometimes we hear the voice of God when we just make time to be quiet. And so I want to leave a bit of space. And some of you may say, well, I never hear the voice of God. You know, when I go quiet, all I hear is my internal critic. You know, the voice of me inside condemning me. Well, you know, it does take practice to silence all the noise. Not just the noise outside. I mean, you can learn to phase out aircraft going over and babies crying and, you know, people coughing and stuff like that. It's much harder to still the noise in your head, isn't it? And that's the art of praying sometimes, learning to still that and to recognize the voice of Christ. But do you believe that Jesus is interested in all of your life? That your life is his classroom? that actually he is interested in everything you're going to do this week and wants to help you to live your life within the kingdom of God. Because if you do believe that, and I passionately do, then Jesus does want to speak to you about each event in your life, every relationship in your life, every project that you're working on, not just what you do, but how you do it. God wants to speak. And we just need to be open to him. You know, sometimes I know it's quite frustrating. You know, I've wanted to, you know, go to God in prayer about, you know, what mighty work of mission he wants me to do. And I kind of sense Jesus is saying, you did not deal well with your wife's saucepan banging just then, and you should put that right. You know, sometimes the Spirit will convict us of sin, but it's a kind conviction. It's a kind that leads us to wholeness. So I'd like to lead you in a short meditation, and then we'll leave some space, and then I'll just leave a brief space for anyone to share. So that's how we're going to finish the service. So, if you don't find meditations helpful, you can just phase my voice out and just come before God in your own way. But I wonder if I can ask you to close your eyes and just stay with me for a couple of minutes. God has given you breath today. That's something to praise him for, your in-breath and your out-breath. And I wonder if you can imagine, if you will, a whiteboard in front of you, a bit like the screen behind me, but a big, big board, and you can write all over it. And you're going to write your hurts from the past up there. And you're going to write your worries for the future on there. You can just do that now. You can write your sadness on there and your loss and your fears. It's a big sheet, so it can take everything. And as you just put it all up there on that big sheet, now you can fold it in half, and in half again, and in half again, and in half again, until it will easily tuck under your arm. And then you take that sheet outside up a sunny hill, a bit like High Down, off to my left. And there's no one there but just you and your sheet and a cross. And you're going to place that folded sheet at the foot of the cross. And as you do that, you're aware of a presence of Jesus. And he's sitting on a bench behind you. And he beckons you over. And he puts his arm around you. You stay and you listen. Listen to him. Sometimes when you listen, you hear a little voice. Sometimes it's more just a thought that the Holy Spirit implants in your mind. Now you might want to ask Jesus some specific question. You can do that. Now, he's Jesus. He may choose to talk about something else. But Jesus is good and has your best interests at heart. You never have to earn Jesus' love. He just loves you. And listen to him. just stay here for another minute. Don't be anxious, just enjoy the quiet. Lord, we thank you that we can turn to you any moment of any day, that you are so close to us, closer even than our breath. You are inside us. You have promised to be with us. We pray, Lord, we won't simply be hearers of the word, but we may be doers of the word. And Lord, help us to live our lives within the kingdom of God as we ready ourselves to leave this campfire and go back into the battle this week. Lord, thank you, you go with us. Thank you for the encouragement of brothers and sisters. We want to worship you. Amen. Now, as the tea and coffee servers go to prepare the tea and coffee, one last thing. I just wondered if anyone wants to share anything for our encouragement. This is a bit risky because, you know, everyone looks quiet and looks at their feet. But I thought it would be a good thing just to see if the Lord said anything to anyone. Yeah, you got a big voice, haven't you? Go on.
My phone's never been really quiet.
Have it anyway.
I'm one of these people, I never stop, basically. And I was quiet then, and my face very strong, but then I just stopped from it, and then I felt, you know, I was quiet. I felt like someone's held my hand and saying, like, you know, all the troubles to go through every week, I'm holding your hand, basically. And it felt like I was a child again, you know, when a parent holds your hand. Wonderful. And that's what it felt like.
Great.
He was holding my hand and taking me through everything.
Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Right. Anyone else? I'm not going to labour it, but of course, the other thing that can happen is sometimes God gives you something for someone else. That gets confusing. Then you really should share it.
For me, it was just a quiet thought. I felt, I suppose, tired. And, you know, when you said, well, write things on the sheets, there was quite a few things, the children. And I thought when you said sit down and listen to what Jesus has to say, it was just a quiet thought saying, well, learn to rest in me.
Yeah.
And instead of doing things of my own strength, which I tend to do, so it was just a quiet rest.
Yeah.
So I just put my head on his chest and rest
thing.
There. Yeah.
It's a great thing to take into the coming week. Sleep.
I think the main reason that I really just love being in the presence of Jesus is because it's one of the few places I always feel totally secure. I'm a man who's made a mess of so much of my life, and God's been so good in straightening that out. But I've felt during that marvellous time you provided for us that so much hope coming in. I don't know who said these words, but I think maybe Martin Luther. You know, I know that I'm not the man I should be, and I know I'm not the man I could be, but I do thank God I'm not the man I was. And that's through listening to Jesus and nothing else.
Thank you, Steve. That's great. Folks, I hope what you're seeing is God is real. We're not playing at this. He wants to be with us every moment of every day, which kind of is a good cue for Life Apps on Tuesday night, isn't it? We're talking about trust. It's called the Trust Apps. 2 weeks on trusting God. If you haven't been but want to come, come along on Tuesday night. You know, we don't just want to be hearers of the word, we want to be doers of it. And Steve and I are going to present some stuff around trust. Right, before we finish, anything else? No, that's great. Thank you. Oh, well, was that something, Karen? It was, wasn't it? Thanks, Karen.
Well, for me, last year was a hard year, and I just put the whole year 2011 on there, but then it was a piece of paper, and I didn't hear the rest because then it was like, I don't want to throw out the whole year. Jesus said, do you really want to throw away the whole year? Everything, all the people you've met and all your friends, you know, and it was like, no, we'll give it back. Because I think we're going to, were you going to say to throw it over the cliff? I can't remember what happened. Because anyway, I just had to take it back. So thank you.
That's great. That's great. Thank you. Okay, folks, let's stand. Oops, sorry. And bless one another with the words of the grace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. I hope you have a great week and look forward to hearing.